Thinking about the Circle Justice meetings brought Cole's anger alive once more. If Garvey or Edwin or anybody else showed their ugly faces on the island now, they better watch out. Cole swatted at the persistent mosquitoes and studied the bay. His only mistake in trying to escape had been forgetting about the incoming tide. Next time, he would wait until the tide flowed outward. He would use the current to help carry him away from this armpit place. Cole walked over to the small, clear stream flowing out from the trees at the head of the bay. The canopy of trees, vines, deadfall, and undergrowth formed a wall of dark green vegetation that would have been hard to crawl through. How did the spirit bear move like a ghost through such tangled forest? Cole knelt on the slippery rocks and drank until the chalky dryness left his mouth. Hunger gnawed at his stomach, but he ignored it. If he had to, he'd eat raw fish or grass. He'd eat anything if it helped get him off this island. Returning to the ashes, Cole noticed faint smoke curling up from one mound. He dug carefully with a stick until he found hot coals, then scrounged dry twigs from under the tree branches. Steady blowing soon coaxed a weak flame to life. This time he would leave with his body warm and his belly full of food. Heavy dark clouds crowded the far horizon, but clear sky overhead let the sun bathe the ground with warmth. Cole leaned his head back to soak in the sunshine. Garvey had said this area had tons of rain. What did he know, living in Minnesota? There had been a few light showers yesterday and during the night, but now the weather was great. For the next few hours, Cole sat on the shore and studied the tide. Once the breeze ruffled the tree branches behind him, and Cole spun around, expecting the spirit bear again. He saw only a couple of big gray birds hopping among the branches. He snickered at how jumpy he was. What was he afraid of? The spirit bear wouldn't show itself now that it knew a human was around. It was the one that should be scared. Cole discovered that high tide occurred midday and began flowing out of the bay within an hour. He knew that tides repeated themselves every 12 hours, which meant the next receding tide would be late tonight, then another this time tomorrow. Reluctantly, Cole admitted it would be best to leave tomorrow. He didn't want to swim at night. He almost wished he could be there to see the faces of Garvey and Edwin when they returned and found him gone and everything burned to the ground. His dad's reaction would be even better. "What are you going to do, Dad?" Cole asked aloud, as if his dad were sitting beside him on the rocks. "Who are you going to sue? Who are you going to hit?" Cole knew what his dad hated most about this whole situation was that his son wasn't something that could be fixed with a lawsuit or a stiff drink. The only solution was to hit Cole harder, and that hadn't helped either. Cole remembered once when he had disobeyed his father and come home late. After being strapped until his skin was raw with welts, he watched in horror as his dad paused and turned the belt around with his big knuckled hands. "You think life's a game? You think you're in charge? You think I'm a big joke?" his dad shouted as he started hitting Cole again, this time with the metal buckle end. Again and again, Cole screamed, don't, I'm sorry I came home late. I'll obey, please, Dad, don't. Life's not a game. Please stop. As Cole kept screaming, his dad kept hitting him. That night was the only time Cole's mom ever said anything in his defense. She came to the doorway, a drink in her hand. "Honey, you're hurting him," she said. Cole's father spun around to face her. "You mind your own business, or I'll use this thing on you." Cole's mother retreated down the hall, but the strapping stopped.